First Thessalonians chapter number 2 is our text tonight. I hopefully, Lord willing, I'll be able to get through the first 12 verses, and that'll be as far as we go this evening. We started the study of this book last week. We understand that these were some of the earliest books written by the Apostle Paul. We understand that these books were written to the church at Thessalonica, a church that was founded by Paul, a church that was, you find the beginning of this church in Acts chapter number 17. And the letters were actually written from Corinth when he was in the city of Corinth ministering there. And so he wrote these two letters back to the church at Thessalonica. And you remember now, the Apostle Paul planted this church, but he wasn't able to stay there very long because persecution came in. The Jewish people came in and caused a stir and an uproar, and he had to leave, and he left there, and he went to Berea, and he found a great reception there, and then he ends up in Corinth. But he had suffered tremendous persecution. Actually and truthfully, when the Apostle Paul comes to Corinth, by his own words in 1 Corinthians, he's perplexed, he's troubled, he's bothered, he's saddened, he's discouraged, and all of these things. And so he had sent Timothy back to check on this church that he was just at a brief and fleeting moment. And Timothy comes back, and Timothy gives him a good report of the work that is going on. And it lifts the Apostle Paul's spirit, and he's encouraged by what is going on. And so chapter number 1, he writes back and begins to thank them and encourage them. And in verse number 3, he's remembering without ceasing their work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope. And we went through the rest of the chapter to describe how that the Apostle Paul was remembering and being blessed by the effect of the gospel of Christ in their life. And I know you can appreciate this. It is a joy to watch the gospel change people's lives. And so the Apostle Paul had the privilege of preaching and starting this church, watched the gospel transform these guys' lives, heard the testimony of that transformation, and he is just encouraged and remembering and being lifted and being comforted and all of that. And so the church was founded, really and truthfully, by evangelistic preaching. It was founded by a faithful preaching of God's word. And you can read about that in Acts chapter number 17. And so Paul is refreshing himself in that. When you come to chapter number 2, you move from the preaching aspect of the gospel to the aspect of pastoring people. So chapter number 2 is really a chapter written to a church from the pastor's heart, written to a church from the depths of the man of God's heart. And I believe you'll see how tender and how passionately and how warm and how loving Paul allows this example of a pastor's heart toward his church. And I'm excited for you to see this. And so Paul is giving us a glimpse here about how he has to nurture them and care for them. And there's three kind of offices or three kind of functions that Paul has of himself in the first 12 verses. Verses 1 to 6, you'll read about a faithful pastor. A faithful pastor. Now let me tell you something. Above anything, I want to be a faithful pastor. I think all of us as stewards of God, we want to be faithful in that. But I want to be a faithful pastor. I want to be faithful to the Lord. I want to be faithful to you. I want to be faithful to God's word. And so in verses 1 to 6, you're going to get the glimpse of the heart of a faithful pastor. Verses 7 and 8, Paul has to relate to this church like a loving mother. Like a loving mother. Actually, he uses the word in verse number 7 as a nursing mother. And we understand what that is. And then verses 9 to 12, Paul is writing in functioning as a concerned father. So he's relaying back to them as a faithful pastor, as a loving mother, and as a concerned father. Now, why does he have to do that? Look at verse number 1 of chapter number 2. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in what? In vain. Okay. Apostle Paul is facing something that nobody likes to be accused of and nobody likes to face. Maybe you have faced it. I promise you, no pastor likes to face this. He's facing a faction of people, especially those Jewish religious people that have moved into that church at Thessalonica while he was gone, and they began to do something that is disheartening to anybody, and they begin to question his motives. Nobody likes their motives to be questioned. Have you ever done something honestly, intently, and above board solely for somebody else and then have somebody question your motive? That eats at you. That hurts you, stings you. And so here's the Apostle Paul. His motive is being questioned. And really and truthfully, it's a motive, a financial question that's coming into play. If you look at verse number 6, he says, we weren't burdensome to you. He's having to defend his financial integrity. It's one thing to have to defend your integrity at all, but to have to defend your financial integrity and somebody questions your motives along those lines, I mean, they're really digging in at you. So the Apostle Paul preached the gospel, a church got started, he got run out by persecution, these guys come in, now they're beginning to harp and question his integrity, especially financial, and his motives as to why he was doing what he was doing in this church. You may be here tonight and you understand fully what it is to have your motives questioned. You want to damage a relationship, a marriage, you begin to question motives. You want to damage a relationship in any capacity, you go after motives. You want to wound somebody deeply, you go after motive. So the Apostle Paul here, his motives are attacked. And he's responding in verses 1 to 6. Now, he is an honest man. And here is really and truthfully the Apostle Paul's mentality. Go down to verse number 4. If you look at the end of verse number 4, he says, it is God, but God which trieth our what? Our hearts. So the Apostle Paul is laboring under the microscope, vulnerability, transparency of the understanding that God knows his heart. And at the same way he's in this position, he's got these people over there, and they are absolutely after his integrity. And so now he writes back to the church in verse number 2. Notice the sensitivity and the direction he gives to them. First he says, listen, I didn't come in vain. But even after we had suffered and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contentions. Paul's saying, listen, I paid a high price to come and do what I'm doing to you. I was persecuted. I was beaten. I have faced things you would never even know about. But I did those things so I could come and preach the gospel. And by the way, let me just stop right here. Some of you are interceding for the souls of men and women, and you've done it for a long time. And they have no idea how shamefully entreated you have been, or they have no idea what kind of suffering you have gone through to stand in the gap for them. But I want you to know something. God knows what you're going through. And God knows your heart. Paul never wanted to defend himself. But he has to. And he says, listen, you think this is a cakewalk? You think I'm in here with no skin in the game? I absolutely have suffered. But even though he suffered, he was still faithful to preach them the gospel. Verse number 3. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. Verse number 5. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. Paul is telling them, listen, we came to you in honesty. We came to you suffering for the gospel. And when we came, we didn't present something that was fake. We didn't use flattery words to cover up covetousness. We preach to you the truth of God. And in all of the right that we had, we could have taken money from you. We could have exercised influence over you. We could have instilled our position over you, but we didn't do that. Why did they not do that? They didn't do that because they didn't want any of them to be harmed. But Paul said, man, we could have done all that, but instead we didn't. Now, what was Paul's ultimate motive? Look at verse number 4. All, having understood all what he did in approach and being faithful, here was his motive. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. Not as pleasing men, say the word, but God. Paul understood that he ministered solely and only for the glory of God. He understood that he had been entrusted with the gospel. His motives were pure. He wasn't laboring for them. He was laboring for the Lord. Now, let me tell you something. Sometimes in laboring for the Lord, you've got to suffer at the hands of others. Pastor, I'm holding the rope. I'm laboring for the Lord. I am being faithful. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And man, I am absolutely suffering. Well, that's exactly right, because that's what happened to Jesus. That's what happened to the Apostle Paul. That's what happened to those. And the Bible says, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall do what? Suffer persecution. Now, here's how the devil annihilates us. He goes after our motives. And so here's Paul trying to be a faithful pastor to these people. Absolutely was courteous and kind and honest before them, understanding in his own heart that he'd been allowed the trust of the gospel by God, and he was laboring not to please them, but to please God, and they're vicious after him in that aspect. And by the way, in your life and in my life, we are called to be faithful in every area of ministry that God enables us. And if I don't understand that I am laboring for the Lord, and I don't understand that in my own brain, in my own integrity, and in my own heart, then I'll be susceptible to be sifted. Other people are never going to understand your heart and your position with the Lord. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to shamefully entreat you. They're going to persecute you. They're going to question your motives. But God knows your heart. God knows you're pure. God knows you're obedient. God knows you're standing strong. And you're not laboring for them. You're laboring unto the Lord. Now, you want them to be saved. You want them to be righteous. You want them to come to whatever it is that God has for them. But you cannot let other people distract you from doing what God wants you to do. Okay? Now, this is really practical. You got to listen. Well, Pastor, they don't appreciate what I'm doing. Of course not. They're lost. What do you think they're going to do? Well, Pastor, they didn't recognize me. Well, are we laboring for them or are we laboring for the Lord? See, you and I have been entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you would agree with that, say amen. Amen. And that needs to mean something to us. And understanding that God has entrusted me, understanding that God knows my heart, understanding that God has enabled me to do that, enables me then to be faithful. because I don't really care how you're responding to me. I'm going to do what God wants me to. And by the way, I love you way more than you know. And I'm willing, for the sake of the gospel, for you to rant, rave, question my motive, do whatever you want to do. But one day you'll know I stood in the gap so you didn't go to hell. But if we're not careful, we let these attacks, especially at motive, just say, well, they don't appreciate it, then I'm not going to do that. So Paul's writing back to the church, and he's saying, listen, don't question my motive. Man, I was faithful to you. And I wasn't there solely for you. I was there for the Lord, and I understand I was entrusted. I could have done all those things, but I didn't do them. So he's coming at him from a faithful pastor's point of view. And by the way, just let your pastor say a word or two about you. No, you don't know what a blessing you guys are to me. You don't question my motives. You support what I believe God wants us to do. I don't have anybody questioning my motives. You love me more than what you should, and I appreciate that. I'm not preaching this because this is what I think you're doing to me. I'm preaching this because this is where we are in the Word of God, and I'm supposed to preach the whole counsel of God. Amen? So that's where we are. All right, so he goes on now in verse number 7, and he says, now, not only was I a faithful pastor, I had to be your mother. And he goes, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. Why would they do that? Because you were dear unto us. Paul said, man, not only was I a faithful pastor to you, man, I had to get down and be your mother. When he talks about a nursing mother, you think of gentleness. He mentions the word gentle in verse number 7. And what does a nursing mother do? When a mother nurses a child, she is imparting her own life to the child. Mother eats the food. Food goes through the mother's body, and the mother is passed on to the child through the nursing process. If the mother eats something bad, then the child can react to something bad. A mother needs patience and provision and protection. And a mother, she is imparting her own life to her child. Now, Paul says, listen, I was like a mother imparting my own life to you. Why? Because you were dear unto us. Find, if you would, 1 Peter chapter 2 and Hebrews chapter 5. I want to show you something. And I think it'll bless you when it comes to your Bible study. 1 Peter chapter 2. And in Hebrews is behind that a little bit. And find Hebrews chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere, what's that say, class? Milk of the word. Now, a mother imparts milk to her child. In that is life-sustaining nourishment. In that is her own life. Paul said, the way a mother imparts life, I was imparting to you life, and I was imparting it to you through God's word. And Peter teaches us that to a new Christian, verse number 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, and if so be ye have tasted, that the Lord is gracious. And so the same way through the mother's milk a baby is nourished, Paul said, man, I was nourishing you with the milk of God's word. All new Christians need the milk of God's word. That's why we have discipleship in our church. That's why we have a Sunday school class in our church. That's why you should attend the services. They're being imparted to the milk. And Paul says, I was gentle. The same way a mother is gentle in nursing her child, I was gentle in imparting to you the milk of God's word. And by the way, we had four children. Excuse me. Beverly had four children. And I never nursed one of them. But I watched my wife do it. And I want you to know something. All of you mothers in the room, you know, it is an extremely patient exercise. The nurses would come into the hospital and they in the room when the baby's first born, and usually they have to tell the new mother, listen, it takes time. Don't get discouraged. Don't get frustrated. Don't get in a hurry. And they're encouraging in the process. The same way a mother is patient with her child, Paul said, I was patient with you, teaching you the milk of God's word. Now, look where milk is supposed to take you. Go to Hebrews chapter 5. Look, if you would, in verse number 10. Hebrews chapter 5. Actually, go down to verse number 12, if you would. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of what class? Full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And so what is the Apostle Paul teaching them here? He's teaching them, listen, I was a faithful pastor unto you. I was like a nursing mother, gently nursing you new converts with the milk of God's word. And then the milk is supposed to grow and develop you to where you're able to take meat. Now let me stop and just say a thing or two about this. If you've been saved for some time, you ought to be able to take meat. One of the big problems with Christianity and with church is we nurse our babies too long. I saw an article on one of the magazines, and they got this mother on there, and she's nursing the child. You may have seen her, heard about it, was on the news. And they were talking about nursing their children and the length of that, and some of that's private, and some of that's up to the parent or whatever. But there was a line there where there's a weaning process. And the same way when it comes to spiritual things, the reason our churches are hurting so bad is we've got people been saved for 5, 10, 12 years, and they're still trying to digest milk, and meat chokes them. I don't want to be the pastor or a participant or a member of a church that can't swallow the meat of God's word. I don't want that to be said about my life. So here's why, and I'm just kind of opening my heart out to you tonight. That's why I'm so burdened about our Sunday night service. I am so burdened about it. It's a problem we got. The problem is, when are we going to get meat? You don't really get meat Sunday morning. You get it tonight, but man, we also got it on Sunday night there. And we got to be careful that we don't just become satisfied with milk. Paul says, I was faithful. You're questioning my motive when I nursed you like a child with the milk to develop there now for you to go to meet. He was a loving mother in that aspect. Go back and we'll finish this chapter number 2. Not only was I a faithful pastor, not only did he relate to them as a nursing mother, but in verses 9 to 12, you see the father aspect here. Look at verse number 9. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. They had to work another job because they didn't dare want to take any money from anybody. They didn't want anybody to be offended. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblamely we behaved ourselves among you that believe. And as ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a, here's our word, father doth his children. So Paul says, I was a faithful pastor, I was a loving mother, and now I'm like a concerned father. Well, what does a father do for his family? Look at verse number 9. A father works for his family. A father works to support his family. Paul said, man, I worked a job. I worked night and day because I would not be chargeable unto you to preach unto you the gospel of God. So Paul worked a full-time job. He was a tent maker. And then he also was a pastor, but he worked for his family. And so here they are questioning his motives, and he's working for them. Look at verse number 10. He also had a right walk for them. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblamely we behaved ourselves. Paul said, man, I set an example there for you. I was not trying not to be right with you. We exercised and took great care to make sure that we were unblameable to you. And in verse number 11, he says, look, we encouraged you. We comforted you. We charged you. And that those words there carry with the idea of an encouragement, a verbal encouragement to go forward. He was concerned. He was working for his family, walking in the right way, teaching them with the right words. Where was he leading them? Look, if you would, in verse number 12, and then we'll be done. That ye would walk, say those three words, worthy of God. You know, that really is the, not just the motivation of a pastor for a church, but that's a motivation for a father and mother for their family. I mean, that I think about being the pastor of this church. You know what my motivation is? That we win as many people as we can to Christ. But I also want you to walk worthy of God. Walk worthy of God. Why, Pastor? Who hath called you to his kingdom and his glory? And the Apostle Paul said, all I ever wanted, all I came in there to do was that you could know Christ and that you could walk worthy of him. Let me tell you something. Anybody that cares whether you go to hell or not and cares whether you walk with God or not, they're some of the greatest friends you have. Greatest friends. And you may be having burdens for people. And boy, oh boy, you're suffering, you're doing whatever, you're being nourished, you're all these things. And man, they're after your motive. And nothing hurts a preacher more than somebody questioning your financial motive. I mean, you want to gut a preacher, you hurt him with financial integrity. Especially the day and age which we live in. But a preacher has his button, you may have yours. And the devil knows what your motive button is. And he can get that thing. If he can make accusation against it and he can stick you with that, it can be discouraging. So Paul had to stop and he had to say, no. I was faithful to you. I nourished you. I had concern. I understood that I had been entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was laboring not to please men, but God, because God knew my heart. And my goal for you was that you would walk worthy of God. Now, I want you to agree with me on something. That's a pretty good goal, is it not? Pretty good goal. Anybody in here ever set a hard goal for anybody? Are you goal setters? How many are goal setters? You ever have a goal to lose weight? I've never had that goal. I've never had it. I'm close to having it, though. I've noticed some things about me, and I'm thinking, oh, man, pretty soon I'm going to have to go on a diet. Let's take a guy or lady that wants to lose weight. You set we call it an aggressive goal. Oh, that's aggressive. You set an aggressive goal. That means that there's going to be an aggressive plan to reach the goal. If it's your goal to serve the Lord, influence people for the gospel, stand for truth, have a heart for people that they're going to walk, know God and walk with God, I promise you, you're going to face some persecution. And they're coming after your motive. That's why it is imperative. Imperative that you understand that God knows your heart. And you've got to learn how to find refuge in that. You've got to learn how to go into your closet and say, Pastor, or say, God, they hate my guts. They don't appreciate what I'm doing. Nobody sees it, but you know my heart. And in that moment, it has to be enough for you to realize that no matter what they do, I'm going to do what I believe God wants me to do. By the way, I'm preaching to myself and I'm preaching to you because we got a lot of spiritual work that needs to be done. It's not time to quit. It's time to go forward. So even the Apostle Paul had somebody say, all you want's my money. That's tough on a preacher. But you have your motives too. And somebody says, all you want is this. No, I don't want you to go to hell. I want you to walk with God. And you may not appreciate it right now, and you may not know it till I'm dead, but I will be faithful to do what God calls me to do. And God's people said, let's pray. Let's go.